Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And we've got Jeff Winninger on the show, retired LAPD commander, retired as a lieutenant. He's now in Ohio. Don't let that fool you. He's actually got some cool gear on right now. You know, when Jeff is on the show, we do a two bells giveaway. What that means is twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com, and they just did a fantastic job. Tracy over there at Two Bells, who Jeff hooked us up with, it's just unbelievable. And the prices are low. That's why we got rid of the old shopping store, the old online store that we had. We've got all gear from Two Bells. If you don't see something that you want or that you're looking for, all you have to do is get a hold of me, Jeff or Tracy, and they'll find it. I've done it, and I mean I'm a believer. They can get a hold of anything, and we don't charge extra for the prices. So I pay actually what you guys pay. Same pricing system. We're not making a penny off of anything that is sold off the store. We're just trying to get our gear and stuff in the people's hands or on Jeff's back. And apparently it's working because Jeff is wearing the gear. So we appreciate it. So check it out at leoroundtable.com and listen up. We will be doing a giveaway today for the streamers. And all you have to do is type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell in order to enter that and give us your email address, because it's a digital gift card code that we send you. And the first $20 of your purchase is all covered by Two Bells. So the first $20 is on them. And I think we're doing the coolie still, right, Jeff? So I'm going to hold up the coolie that I've got. You get this really neat looking coolie here to keep your drink cold. And I know you people up north, don't worry. The coffee mugs are going to be coming back. So we will have those soon enough. So. And let me give a shout out to our sponsors. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo. I love it. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. GunLearner.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, we're streaming to 1.5 million followers right now. And TwoBells.com, I just mentioned them. And FishOrlandoBass.com. Go to Orlando, hook up with Zach, and do the bass fishing charter. Or you can do the alligator hunting where you catch and relocate alligators. Amazing opportunity in Orlando with Zach. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com with Travis H. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about? We will be starting off with an update on Jeff's new book, On Thin Ice. And then after that, we're going to be talking about the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service and some stuff that happened behind the scenes that you guys may not be aware of. And then Trump pushes Attorney General Pam Bondi on Comey, Schiff, and James investigations, and he makes a new appointment, which goes right along with that. And he's make no mistake, Trump loves Pam Bondi, and he's putting people in place to help her do her job. And then we got a Florida officer cleared in the fatal shooting of a man that was held hostage by robbers. That's where we had two innocents killed in that shooting. And we've also got body cam showing a shootout with the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police. They shoot through a windshield to take out the suspect who had killed his wife. Also, we got a deputies who fatally shoot a knife-wielding man. We got a California legislature. They're passed a bill prohibiting law enforcement, including the feds, from wearing masks and to show their identities. We've got COPPA. And of course, if you hear COPPA, that's going to mean we're in Chicago. They released surveillance video of an ambush attack on an off-duty Chicago police officer. That should make everybody nervous. And then drone footage showing the fatal shooting of a 72-year-old guy who points a gun at police officers. So Jeff, if you're ready, let's start off with talking about On Thin Ice. You know, the book, the breakout day was what, Tuesday last week. So it hasn't been quite a week yet since your book's been officially out. How are things going?
Oh, it's going very well. I actually was pleased to find out that it ranks number 3 out of 58 books on the Amazon hot new release list for Amazon. So I was very pleased with that. You know, when you write a book, this being my first book, you never know what to expect. And I'm just really pleased that it appears the book's resonating with people and there's a substantial sale. So I encourage people to continue to buy. I think that's a reflection of the quality of the book and, you know, the message that it tends to send. So, you know, take an opportunity to win the book for free here on LEO Roundtable. Go to onthenicebook.com And if you sign up to read the prologue for free, then you will be forever entered into the opportunity to win each week the free VIP swag box, where you get a hard covered copy of the book that'll be signed, as long as some other, as well as some other gifts that go along with it.
Sweet. I love it. You know, we did a show last week. I think you did three shows last week, if I'm counting correctly here. And I know that one of the last shows we did was with Captain Brett Bartlett. He actually purchased your book online in the middle of the show while we're doing the show, didn't he? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and cool.
Guys, that's how easy it is. I mean, for people that watch the show and stuff, you know, that's how easy it is to get hold of the book. So, and he's going to have a version where you're actually, they're going to have you read the book for people that want that nice, smooth, calming voice. You know, sometimes I'll just replay the show at night just to hear Jeff's voice on the episodes with him, you know, so I can go to sleep at night, you know, but it's that soothing voice. So you're going to have to keep it. I don't know. It's a double-edged sword because you got that soothing voice, you know, but you want to, you got to be excited, keep people awake too. So, you know, it's like, you know, are they going to play it at nighttime, read the book, or they're going to, you know, are they doing it while they're driving, you know? So, my hat's off to you, buddy. You're a multi-purpose guy.
Yeah. It'll be challenging. I'll go in the studio in a few months to do it, but,
I can't wait. Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations on thinicebook.com, guys. Make sure you enter that. And I'm expecting a box that I might just open it up on a live show. When I get mine. So stay tuned for that, guys. And moving along, we got Betty Dunn making commentary right now. You know, we are streaming to 1.5 million people right now. And so Betty Dunn's typing message. She's one of the biggest fans that we got on here. Of course, MVS over on Rumble as well. We got Sergeant George and a lot of people here that are weighing in. So thanks for the commentary, guys, on the stream. You know, our first story here, you know, we've got, there's really a couple stories related to it. But at Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com, you know, it talks about the Charlie Kirk Memorial that they had on Sunday. My wife adjusted her whole schedule over the weekend so that we would be home in time, Eastern time at 2 o'clock to watch this. And I'll tell you, this tribute, it was impressive is not even a big enough word. It was just mind blowing. It's at the State Farm Stadium. We saw President Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Vice President, Erica Kirk, you know, Charlie's wife, stole the show. It was pretty well. We got Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm looking at some of the names, Donald Trump Jr. So it was pretty impressive. The amount of people, I think the stadium holds like 65,000 people. It was classy. I didn't see anything derogatory or any bad takeaways. What people may not be aware of. Well, I'll just mention that they designated a special event assessment rating of they call it a SEER rating. It was a level of 1. And that's what they do for like things like the Super Bowl. And for something like this, they had to do it. Obviously, Charlie Kirk was taken out because of who he is and what he was saying and who he was backing. But there's another story that goes along with this. Armed men charged in Arizona after entering the State Farm Stadium. Yeah, the same stadium the memorial was at ahead of the Charlie Kirk Memorial. So a lot of people may not be aware of this, but Arizona officials announced that they charged this guy. They found him with a gun and a knife inside the State Farm Stadium on Friday, which was 2 days before the memorial service happened. Remember, that was on Sunday. So on Friday, they find this guy, and he's identified as Joshua Runkles, charged with impersonating a law enforcement officer, which is a felony, and carrying a weapon in a prohibited place, a misdemeanor. It's kind of funny that's not a felony too. The arrest was made by the Secret Service, who observed this guy acting suspicious inside the stadium. And according to the Secret Service spokesperson, Anthony Gluglami, it said that he was detained prior to the setup of any security perimeter. So I'm glad they got him before they had a perimeter, you know, set up. You don't know these guys are going to like, you know, camp out and make it within a perimeter before the perimeter set up. That's always dangerous, right? So a federal source familiar with this told Fox News that this guy's a former law enforcement. They called him a law enforcement member. I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean law enforcement officer? But they said he's from another state. Allegedly told agents that he was at the stadium to provide private security, and he presented expired credentials. U.S. Secret Service and local law enforcement there are still doing the investigation and trying to get more information on this, but that's the latest. So a lot of people may not be aware of that. So I'm glad the Secret Service is jamming and they're doing some good things then. And we did not have any upsets, because, you know, when you hear about a lot of important people like Trump and J.D. Vance, and it's when a lot of people are in a space, and I think they had them on site, but off site, they had them in another building, I believe. But you don't want bad things to happen. And the more important people you get in one place, the higher the risk is. So, did you happen to see the memorial, Jeff, or see any highlights from it? Or,
you know, I actually did not. With all everything with my book coming out, and I have a big release party tomorrow. I was pretty busy, but I saw stuff on the news. I just didn't watch it live.
Yeah, it's just it's resonating with a lot of people. And Erica, his pro's wife, was so white. They don't know what they've done and what they've unleashed. Guys, we're coming up on our first commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're going to be talking about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. We have choices. And then when you throw the online mix, it's like limitless, right? But here's what matters. I want to remind everybody about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. I mean, listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com. And they've even had this like 20% site-wide sale going on. They've always got deals going on. Sometimes it's free shipping, some incredible deals. And I just got a pair of new Danner waterproof boots there. I got them on sale. I got a great deal as well. Galls.com. All right, now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. Hey, I love these guys, our satellite sponsor. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand rapidly and safely in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their CD3, revolutionary CD3, that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. And, we've been talking about the Charlie Kirk Memorial. We talked about a guy that pretty much infiltrated the State Farm Stadium before they set up a perimeter, which is always scary stuff. And so they nabbed this bad guy who apparently said was a former law enforcement member, whatever that means, but he had a gun and produced expired credentials. And you would have thought that he would have had that one wrapped up if he was going to, if he was going to put himself in a position where he's trying to be a potential bad guy. Jeff, your thoughts on this?
Well, really, when you look at the level of security that they had to provide, when they're comparing it to the security that you would have at a Super Bowl, the difference is they had, a week at best to prepare for this, where a Super Bowl, you have months and months. Yeah. So the challenge is quite significant. And, although they hadn't set up the exterior perimeter yet 2 days prior, it's still concerning that an individual was able to gain access to the actual venue. And in the manner in which he was trying to do it, he was surreptitiously under the guise of being some type of a security individual. And he obviously had these credentials, although they were expired. It's the fact that there was some planning that that went into this. He didn't just show up. So it's concerning, but it just demonstrates the level of concern that anybody who's putting together these types of details has to have, and all the nuances and the detail that's involved in ensuring the security of everybody. I mean, imagine if something happened even the day before, where he perhaps would have maybe not necessarily shot somebody prominent as far as a political leader, but just anybody involved in the planning of this. It just would have been another tragedy. So, it's just really, we have to take our hats off to the people that are responsible for security of these types of venues for this type of an event.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the Secret Service and not letting this one slip through. And I mean, I hate to say, I hate to praise people for just doing their job, but the FBI doing such a great job on this Charlie Kirk thing. I love to see them. I like to see these guys back to where I know that they. The old Secret Service, the old FBI, that name, you hear those names, you hear those three letters, for the FBI or Secret Service. I know they only got two, but it makes me proud to see these guys get back to where they were. Cause I know what they're capable of doing. And it's not just normal law enforcement. These are special guys, specially trained. They shouldn't be DEI hires, and they've gotten out of that now. So it just makes me proud to see that. I've worked, like I'm sure you, Jeff, I've worked, DNCs, RNCs, Super Bowls, all that stuff here, and work closely with some of these guys. I've seen what they do, and more, when they have a perimeter set up like that, even before the things that they do, even with like manhole covers and stuff, when the president comes into the town, it's just, it's pretty impressive and pretty thorough. And with the dogs and stuff they use, it's pretty impressive the capabilities what these guys have. So I love to see this stuff happen and that they're neutralizing threats before they really happen. So I love it.
Yeah, the reality is the listening public generally hears about all the flaws or the things that are identified that don't go well. But listen, the Secret Service has multiple successes, and those successes you'll never hear about.
Yeah, nor necessarily should you, but yeah. And they're not looking to get patched on the shoulder either. That's not, it's they view it as their job, so love it. Well, guys, yeah. We got about 3.5 minutes left. Any final words on this, Jeff? Are you ready to move on to the next main topic? All right. So our next one, we got three sources, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. We got TruthSocial.com. And yes, that is Trump's network. And then we've got ABCNews.go.com. So there's a little, there's sometimes just little, not necessarily flags. Because when I say a flag, it's usually, for like a bad thing in a story or like a pickup. But there's a, for people that don't know the players or the actors, they may get the wrong impression. So the title of this article at Tampa Free Press, Trump pushes Attorney General Pam Bondi on Comey Schiff and James investigation. So if someone was to just simply watch the Truth Social post that Trump made, they may think that Trump's got a beef with Attorney General Pam Bondi. And I assure you that he loves Pam Bondi. He is thoroughly happy with her. There are some things that I think that he feels like he needs to do publicly. And he wants to make sure that people know that he just hasn't forgotten what happened. So it starts off by saying President Donald Trump on Saturday publicly expresses dissatisfaction with the pace of investigations in the several prominent political figures, including FBI Director James Comey, Democratic Senator Adam Schiff of California, New York Attorney General Letitia James, all these names, we know. In a series of social media posts, the president questioned what he perceived as a delay in filing charges against the trio. Now, this is involving charges because we know that there's already an investigation that's underway. Trump's comment shared in the social media platform came after Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard referred to Comey referred him to the Department of Justice for potential criminal activity related to the Russia collusion narrative from the 2016 election. And then Schiff and James are facing separate allegations of mortgage fraud, ironically, right? And then he specifically mentioned Comey, Schiff and James, stating that they are guilty as hell, but nothing is being done. I think it's a bit of frustration too on his part. We all know that Trump wants things done yesterday, right? And he can get anxious, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. To work for this guy he's incredibly demanding. The president stressed the need for action, writing that we can't delay any longer. It's killing the reputation and credibility. They impeached me twice and indicted me 5 times over nothing. Justice must be served now. So he obviously hasn't forgotten, and I don't know that he necessarily should. In a follow-up post, Trump praised Attorney General Pam Bondi, calling her very careful, very smart, loves our country. He added that she needs a tough prosecutor, and this is where we're going. This is the tell. We need a tough prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia to get things moving, in other words, to help Pam Bondi out. He then announced the intention that he had to nominate lawyer Lindsay Halligan for the U.S. attorney position in that district, stating that she will provide desperately needed justice for all. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there. We're going to pick this up when we come back from commercial break, and we're going to talk a little bit about Lindsay Halligan. And some people may have some questions whether she's up for the job or not. We'll talk about that in a second. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market at AeroPrecisionUSA.com last year, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that you can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, also the author of the new book that just broke out last Tuesday, On Thin Ice. You can go to OnThinIceBook.com to get more information. We've been talking about the latest. Trump pushes Attorney General Pam Bondi on the Comey shift and James investigations. And I mentioned that if you didn't know any better, you might think that he's upset with our Attorney General, Pam Bondi. And I have been assuring our listeners that that could not be further from the truth. He's looking to assist her, and he's got a little bit of frustration because, you know, look, Trump does not come from the law enforcement world and or even the judicial system. And so some of these things just simply can't be rushed. And I know it can get frustrating for people. And Trump's never been one to shy away from showing frustration, right? And he's also a very demanding guy. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I just talked about how he's in the post, he said that he's appointing Lindsay Halligan to the U.S. attorney position in that district so that she can provide what he terms as desperately needed help. But he's trying to help, you know, Pam Bondi out. And then we've got another article. We've got the post on Trump social, which we'll have a link to that on our website tomorrow. And then we got Trump says he's appointing Lindsay Halligan, one of his former attorneys, to lead the key prosecutor's office. So here's, and I'm covering this because I know that there's going to be some dissension on this. Lindsay Halligan, she's currently working in the White House staff secretary's office, or at least till this appointment, and represented Trump for a long time during the classified documents investigation. It goes on to say that the announcement came a day after the previous head of that office, who was Eric Seibert. He actually resigned from the position, but he was getting pressure from the Trump administration to bring a criminal case against New York Attorney General Letitia James. And so now he's left that position. Now, the appointment of Halligan, it does say that she has no prosecutorial experience and that she's licensed to practice law in Florida and that she handled insurance claims when she joined Trump's legal team when this whole Justice Department probe was going on into Trump's handling of classified documents and stuff. So that's her experience. So that would be, I'll be honest, that would be a flag for a lot of people. And it would be for me too. However, Trump's gotten a lot better, in my opinion, about picking people in key roles. And it's not, I can't really say that at Trump 1.0, there were many appointments that just ended up backfiring on him. And I've seen him just do a rock solid job. So I've got to trust that he's got his reason for appointing her. We'll find out soon. More recently, it says that her post to the White House, Halligan, was tasked by Trump with an effort to root out the administration, what they call radical ideology at the Smithsonian Institution Museum. So that's what she's been doing as well, which is more along the lines of what I want to read before she takes a post like this. Commentary, Jeff Weninger.
Well, I just think that Trump needs to be patient. Like we were saying during the break, you know, you and I had very lengthy law enforcement careers. And when it comes to building cases, sometimes it takes time. And I think the last thing that we want to see occur, or anybody wants to see occur, is that a case is brought and then it just falls apart because it's so weak. I don't think it serves anybody well. So in the event that, you know, there is a case that's brought, it needs to be a strong, very robust prosecutorial case that'll be winnable. That being said, naming this this new attorney to head things up, you know, yeah, to a degree, you may be concerned because she, you could argue she doesn't have the experience, but it's been my experience that oftentimes when you bring somebody in that is outside of that siloed mentality, where we all too often times talk just among ourselves, and we're missing some obvious avenues and different perspectives and directions we can go with an investigation. So bringing in fresh blood, a different perspective, someone that may see things a little differently, can bring some new life to an investigation. And you know, that's what leadership is all about. So I, that in of itself doesn't concern me, the lack of experience. It's about leadership. It's about asking the right questions. It's about peeling back the onion and putting together a prosecutorial case that can be successful in court.
And you bring up a good point, talking about supervision. You know, it's not like she's the only one in the office that she's going to be prosecuting these cases, right? I mean, she's got a team of I'm sure seasoned prosecutors that she's simply going to be supervising. And you know, I know occasionally you'll get like a state attorney or a DA that will, you know, want to be on TV because they're coming up for reelection and they're going to prosecute a murder trial or something like that, and that's mostly for show. Let your seasoned prosecutors do their thing. They do this day in, day out. They know what they're doing. And they don't really need, in my opinion, your best guys that are your investigators or prosecutors, they don't need a lot of supervision. You got to make sure that everything is, you know, is going smoothly. But I'm sure she's got guys that she doesn't, they don't need any heavy-handed supervision, that they're gonna be rock solid, make her shine. But they will go in the direction that she points them into, and they're going to need the backing from someone that's strong like her. So I'm with you, Jeff. I think that the proof will be in the pudding, and that we will see it shortly. I know Trump wants to see it like yesterday, which is, we've all worked for people like that, right? I mean, even doing like undercover assignments that have any kind of a link to them, the guy at the top, at the head of the agency, they want results now, right? And when you have clandestine, you know, undercover kind of stuff going on, or maybe just things that you're just gathering intelligence for, you have an intelligence division, you're not going to necessarily produce results, or if you do, it's going to be way down the line. And some people just have to see the numbers. They just want it. You have to prove your existence and support that, which is kind of frustrating at times. So yeah, I get it.
So. Sometimes it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly. All right. So moving along, we've got our next story here. Let me throw this one out here real quick here. We've got a little under 4 minutes before we take our next commercial break. Global ordinancenews.com. You know, Florida officer cleared in a fatal shooting of a man held hostage by robbers. So we've talked about this a few times. And this is, well, I'll just read to you what it says in my own words, but this story will refresh our user's memory. This is a wild shoot from the Miami area. Well, it's Fort Lauderdale, but a South Florida judge on Thursday cleared a police officer of wrongdoing in the shooting death of a UPS driver who was taken hostage during a 2019 robbery. Now, guys, this was a wild scenario. It had an unfortunate ending. Broward Circuit Judge Ernest Colra ruled that Officer Jose Mateo, who had been charged with manslaughter in the death of a UPS driver, the UPS driver's name is Frank Ordonez, he said that this officer could not be prosecuted because Florida's so-called stand your ground law had justified the shooting. And this was reported by the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Now, the UPS guy, Ordonez, he's only 27 years old. He was delivering packages, and it was in the Miami-Dade area on December the 5th of 2019. Police said that two would-be jewelry store robbers, they abducted him. They forced him to drive from the scene in the UPS truck, right? So now there's a rush hour police chase, and now they end up at a busy intersection in neighboring Broward County. And prosecutors said that Officer Mateo fired the shots that killed the UPS driver Ordonez, who had been taken hostage, right? The two robbers, they basically carjacked him. The two robbers and a passerby were also killed in a hail of gunfire at this intersection in Miramar, Florida. Now, body-worn camera footage that was played in court showed the officer's pursuit of the UPS truck. It was in the afternoon. His partner could be seen in the passenger seat with a long gun drawn. And this was also covered by Miami television station WPLG. The video also showed when Officer Mateo approached the UPS truck, he emptied the magazine of his firearm. He reloaded. He pulled the UPS driver from the vehicle, the one, of course, that ended up dying or donuts. And the judge ruled the officer had reason to believe deadly force was necessary to end the confrontation. According to the Sun Sentinel, Officer Mateo is currently suspended from his job still. The cases against the other three officers charged with manslaughter, they're going to continue to move forward, according to the state attorney's office. The Broward State Attorney's Office, here's what they said to appeal the ruling. It does show a little bit more information. It says, is our belief that stand your ground immunity, it does not apply in matters involving innocent bystanders. And that's an interesting point. Like Frank Ordonez, our UPS driver, and also Richard Cutshaw, that was the other innocent bystander that got killed, who presented no danger to the officers. Now, in this incident, two innocent men were killed and the lives of numerous other innocent bystanders were endangered, according to the state attorney's office. And so that's what happened. Of course, Florida Stand Your Ground law recently changed where the burden of proof is now on the prosecution instead of on the defense, and which was pretty much a milestone. Jeff Winninger, your comments on this?
Yeah, I just find it a little peculiar that they're applying Stand Your Ground law. You know, generally speaking, when you have a law enforcement officer, any force that you use is governed by Graham versus Connor, objective reasonableness. And, you know, this case, it sounds like it's fairly problematic, but we can get into that a little bit after the break. But it's concerning.
I agree. I don't like the outcome. They didn't even go the qualified immunity route, which is mostly for civil cases and stuff. But guys, we're coming up on our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. And again, that is at gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we're joined by Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, former LAPD commander, also the author of the new book On Thin Ice. And you can get more information and register to win that slick grab bag at onthinicebook.com. And I see that I think that we've got enough entries for the contest. So if you guys do want to win that two belts giveaway, you can still type in the number two and the letter B to get that. So Jeff, I know that we were just talking about a story that where an officer involved in a shoot down Miami-Dade area, right where they border with Fort Lauderdale, the carjacking UPS truck. These are like jewelry thieves, robbers, but they end up carjacking these UPS driver. Rush hour traffic, they're at an intersection, shootout with the cops, and we've got UPS driver gets killed. I think that both the robbers got killed, and we had a couple bystander, the UPS driver and an innocent bystander got killed. So not your perfect scenario. And we had, at least we know that one cop had a long gun that was in the car with our officer that got charged. We have three other officers charges are going forward on, but this officer, they're not going to charge him because of the stand your ground law as determined by a judge. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, I mean, it appears to be problematic, but listen, it's difficult to speak with any credibility without seeing the entire investigation and that sort of thing. But when you're talking about four officers and one of them is not going to be charged, but the other three, the prosecution is going to continue, if I understand that correctly. So, you know, it's tough because when you probably couldn't face a more stressful, rapidly unfolding tactical scenario. the outcome here was not optimal, obviously. Are there things that the officers could do better? Of course. Does that mean that it rises to the level of negligence, where there's criminal negligence to the point where you have manslaughter? I certainly would hope not. It's just tough to say. I have no idea how many rounds were fired. It was reported that this one officer, fired his entire magazine. If that were the case with the other three officers, there could have been a heck of a number of rounds that were actually fired. So we really don't know what the circumstances are and what further concerns you may have that would warrant a criminal prosecution. But you never like to see things go this way.
I agree. Hard the Monday morning quarterback on this one. I do know training is so important. So I don't know if training would have made a difference in this or not. I mean, it's hard, whatever scenario. Well, you're probably a fan of scenario-based training like I am. But scenario-based training is not designed, nor do they necessarily think that they're going to create the exact scenario that you're going to find yourself in, right? Just like whenever we go places in public, we're always going through scenarios in our mind. And I guarantee you that nothing that goes down is going to perfectly match the scenario, but you have trained yourself, even in training at the academy or whatever, as something close enough to where you have some reasonable, you can fall back on something that's reasonable that you can do that you've already prepared for, in your mind or through physical training. So I love scenario-based training, but I wish I had more information on this. Certainly not a bad outcome. We did have a guy with a rifle. We've got guys with pistols that are engaging, but there could be a scenario that where, I mean, let's face it, you got two armed carjackers. It could have been a scenario where there was no way that this UPS driver was going to be able to get away unscathed. It's just sad that it came from the officer's bullet. But it could have been a huge firefight. I know you got an intersection, a bad backdrop, and it's just one of these things that it just happened. Just the perfect storm. It just could have been the perfect storm. Just horrible. So, but these things can happen. So.
It's, the general public needs to realize that you can't use the benefit of 2020 hindsight. True. You have to deal with the circumstances as they're presented in the moment when those split second decisions are being made. And we have to realize, in my career, I had a number of circumstances where I was taking rounds, and you'll be amazed with what your brain does and how you. The average person evaluating or assessing what occurred would think that you would obviously see something, but you don't necessarily see it. You're focusing on other things, and you get tunnel vision and things of that nature. So, unless you have a real robust understanding and background in how our brains respond to stress and that sort of thing, and what our training is, it's really hard to be critical of officers.
Agreed. Well, two things real quick. Betty Dunn loves clams, so I know what your guys are going to be eating when you do lunch coming up. And Kyle Branch talking about their firearms instructor is going to be busy pulling training records on everyone involved in that incident. And that, I'm sure you're probably right. Hey, we've only got about 4 minutes, and I want to cover the story with a video component. Rumble.com. This is Butters the channel, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Body cam shows a shootout through an IMPD windshield against a suspect who killed his wife.
Congress, we are 1400 block. He's coming right at me.
1400 block, he's Congress. Congress. Crossfire.
I'm gonna go through this quickly. So yeah, we're in Indianapolis, Indiana. So body cam shows officers being shot at by a murder suspect before returning fire and killing the guy during a car chase on Indy's northeast side. Listen to this, guys. Walter McNary, our bad guy, 76 years old, shot and killed on July the 25th by officers with the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. There was a car chase. So the agency said that McNary, our 76-year-old bad guy, accused of shooting and killing his wife, who was 60-year-old Nola McNary. So she was 16 years his junior, and they had gotten into a fight, and he killed her earlier that day. So officers are called about 7:20 in the morning for a person shot. They get there. They find Nola suffering from a gunshot wound, and they start doing the investigation. She goes to the hospital, where she later dies. Less than an hour later, officers see our guy, Walter McNary, the husband, driving his car, was reportedly leaving the scene of his wife's murder. Officers follow him. Then they try to pull him over, and dash cam shows him refusing to pull over. And after the pursuit is initiated, then he stops his car. He opens up his door. He fires shots at the squad car behind him. He strikes the window before driving away. And after he drives away, the officer inside returns fire from inside the car. We get to see all that. And then at the next intersection, our guy is driving through the intersection, firing shots at another officer who's driving in his car. And that officer didn't return fire. Suspect then drives down an alley where he fires shots at a third officer who's facing him head on. That officer backs up in reverse and then just speeds away and doesn't even confront the bad guy. McNary is seen slowing down again, firing shots at another officer, while officer who actually has a patrol rifle fires from the seat of his patrol car. And then he goes down a dead end, gets out of his car. He's on property now. He hides in a tree line. He emerges when the cops roll up. He emerges from behind a wall, and he points his gun at an officer. Now, it looks like there's three officers. One's got a patrol rifle, one's got a pistol, and one looks like he's got a shotgun. And they say they were shot with a rifle. I wasn't sure from the video. It almost looked like the shotgun. The guy with the rifle, it didn't look like the rifle fired. It looked like maybe it was a shotgun, but I could be wrong on that. It says that he was hit. They said it was a rifle that got him, and they found a rifle laying next to him and a pistol in the car when they grabbed him. So that's the way it goes down. You got about a minute and 40 seconds. Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, there's two things that just kind of jumped out at me. The first thing is you want to think outside the box when you have this type of tactical situation. These officers are in single officer vehicles, and it may have behooved them to abandon one of their vehicles and partner up so the passenger officer could have a long gun while the other one's operating the motor vehicle, because it's difficult to operate a motor vehicle when you're taking rounds and then returning fire, and you have the issue of the accuracy of firing through your windshield. So that's something to consider. The other thing is when you had mentioned it, where the officer was in reverse, and he was in reverse for a long time. Listen, it doesn't matter how fast you're going that direction. You're still in that deadly funnel. You're in that kill zone. If you want to get out of the kill zone, you got to move to the left or the right. You got to get out of there. But just staying right in front of the guy as he's coming towards you, you are continually in a position where you are vulnerable. So you always want to consider that. Always think of it from where the suspect's location is, a funnel coming out, and you need to get outside of that funnel. But by backing up, you're not doing anything.
Yeah, I just, it's easy, the Monday morning quarterback. I think back to that part where it's a narrow street. The officer sees this guy come at the end of the street, turn the corner, headed towards him, and the firing, I don't know. I know it's hard to second guess. You know, he made a decision, stuck with it. It may have been the right decision. I don't know. But the bad guy in the end, the bad guy, you know, they got the bad guy, and nobody got injured, which was nice, other than the 60-year-old, you know, wife, unfortunately. So another great show, Jeff Weninger. Congratulations on the new book, On Thin Ice, at onthinicebook.com. You know, guys, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And if you're looking for organizations to support, like I do monthly with them, I don't think you need to worry about them embarrassing you. Randy Sutton's a rock solid guy, and they're really doing some great things. So the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Please check them out. Also, On Thin Ice book. Make sure you enter the contest and sign up to get the free swag. Also, a shout out to our sponsors, Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Gunlearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support, guys. We'll look for you tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.